Order for confession and forgiveness is found on page 94 in the front of the red hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and have sinned ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. We pray. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to your grace, revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Amos. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring ruin on the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy with a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Word of God. Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 1 Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for rulers and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Remember that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and at this point he stops to tell a story to his disciples. This is kind of a tricky story. It's often entitled The Dishonest Manager. So follow along with it, and as you do, I want you to think about this question as well. It talks about riches, and somewhere along it talks about what the true riches are. I want you to think about what are true riches to which God calls us and gives us. Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager. And charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So the rich man summoned the manager and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. And I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, the manager asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' The debtor answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then the manager asked another, 'How much do you owe?' The debtor replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children to come forward to see if we can add a little light to this story, perhaps, maybe from a different angle. All welcome. So let me ask this question. Maybe just a couple of the older ones. And maybe the rest of you can think about this. When you were children, do your mom and dad ever send you to the grocery store to get something? No. Well, you're a little young for that. I was talking to my confirmation class. Now, they remembered it. It happens sometimes. But let's just say that your mom and dad gave you a dollar bill and said, go to the grocery store to buy some, what did we say in the confirmation class, guys? Milk. Get some milk. But on the way, what happens? You start playing and you get excited and you're running around and that dollar just falls out of your pocket and you'll lose it. Oh no. The next day, you already lost yours, right? The next day, mom and dad say, go to the grocery store and get some
milk.
And so they give you a dollar bill. And this time you go to the grocery store, you make it to the grocery store, you got your dollar. But you know, when you go in the grocery store, you see all these good things. What do you see first, generally?
Fruit.
Fruit? Well, yeah. Caitlin sees candy, which is the, yes.
What do you see at the checkout?
That's right. Yeah, you see it all over. You see candy. So what do you got a dollar bill, you got milk, you got candy. What are you going to buy?
Candy.
That's right. Yes. So you come home, and you got no milk, but you got candy. Are your mom and dad going to give you another dollar bill?
Probably.
Yes. Okay. This time, they give you another dollar bill and they send you out to buy milk. But here's what happens this time. You don't stop around to play, but before you get to the grocery store, what if you meet somebody who is really, really hungry and they need dollar to buy some food that they haven't had in a long, long time? That's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah. And you give the dollar to them. So you come home, and what do you tell mom and dad?
You gave it to somebody.
Are they? What are they going to say?
They said, who is it?
Well, that's probably true. That's right. Are they going to give you any more dollars? Probably. you guys got good mom and dads. Yeah. Well, here's what I'm thinking. Sometimes we compare our moms and dads, our parents, to who do we compare? Sometimes we think of God as our parent. How often will God give us a dollar and send us out?
Every day,
I think. Yeah. Really, let me ask it this way. How many times will God forgive you? One time?
1 million.
Lots of times. Part of that story that we told today about the manager is about forgiving debts and forgiving the things that we do wrong. We gather here in this place with confidence and hope because God promises to forgive us. Now, does that mean you can just go out and blow your dollars anytime you want?
No,
it doesn't. It does mean that your heart might be open to the guy who's or the gal that needs something, or you can share your things. So, with the dollar bills, what do you think I'm hoping you might do with these dollar bills today?
Buy some milk.
Buy milk? How about this? Would you put them in the offering plate for me?
Yeah.
Could you do that?
I've only got a few, but the pastor's too cheap to bring out the fives. I mean, guys, come around and let's have a prayer together. Almighty God, we give you thanks that in your heart you forgive us daily and you hold us close in forgiveness and in life, and you send us to share the wealth that we have, the good things that we have, with those who are in need. We pray for these children and pray that you always would fill them with life and love, and that you would send them forth to share that life and love with one another and with those who are in need. All say amen. Amen. Thank you all. So, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Can't dig. Too ashamed to beg. What am I going to do? As I read this story, sadly, I have to say, I can really identify with this guy. Maybe I didn't manage something very well. A project got away from me. Or maybe I forgot about it altogether. Or the planning just wasn't that tight. What to do? What am I gonna do? But there's always a spin, isn't there? Isn't that a good way to think about the dishonest manager in this story? Doesn't his mind just spin and spin around? You get a few of the lines, but, you know, what am I gonna do? How am I gonna do? Make this right for myself? How am I gonna save my bacon? How can I turn things in my favor? And we know from our own experience, well, this is kind of a country saying. I don't want to really put it on my dad, but you saw I say, after me, you come first. We're always looking out for number one, or most of the time. But maybe the suggestion of the parable is, don't we also try to deal with God in the same way? Maybe we take our bill and write it down. I wasn't so bad today. 80%. I tried pretty hard. 75. Did all that I could. 90. Got most of it right. Reminds me of being in college. Remember, Ed, we used to go for what was known as the gentleman's B. Just got it close, but... And you know the old saying, or it was an old song when I was about your age, or two out of three ain't bad. But it's not that God's counting. But it's in this process God so often gets dismissed, gets forgotten about. Jesus' point in telling the story is we can be so shrewd and so diligent to save the sense of ourselves, to save the identity that we have created for ourselves, to justify our own lives. Could we not, should we not, as children of light, be as diligent and purposeful in our dealings with each other and in our dealings with God, to bring attentiveness to life which God gives us and to which God calls us to be in life-affirming relationships with one another? And in my mind, I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he says the true riches will be given to you. Isn't this story in a very odd way a call to faith? That we have a home with God and with others in the life we are given, in the life we are called to share. We are welcome into God's heart, into God's life. We share that welcome. We share those riches with others. A call to faith, a call home. But how do we get there? Comes that question again. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Now that got me to thinking. Got me to thinking about this story in kind of a different way, from a different angle. Makes a big deal about writing down the debt. But isn't that what we understand Jesus to be doing all the time? Be taking our debt, writing it down, not just half, but all the way. Jesus writes the whole thing off. And doesn't that seem like a pretty good deal to the boss? Total grace. Even the master in the parable has a sense of the goodness of grace. Perhaps he is being complimentary, not because he got bested by a clever guy, but because he will now himself be celebrated as a humane and graceful landowner who is beneficent to the people. So I'm thinking to myself that this Jesus guy, while not dishonest, is very much like the manager in our story, writing down debt all over the place. Except that he isn't trying to save his own skin, but ours. And wasn't that always the temptation throughout the scriptures? Save yourself. Come down from there. Save yourself. Fall down. Let the angels save you. But Jesus' answer is always, I must go to Jerusalem. I must, particularly in the Gospel of Luke, I must seek and save the lost. That's you. That's me. Jesus writes down our debt. He restores our life by giving life, by forgiving. He bears the debt. He bears that question, what am I going to do? And all of our wrong answers to it. We are free now in Christ Jesus from the compulsion, from the bondage to always be spinning in our minds, how are we going to work this out so that we look good? How are we going to work things out in our own favor to justify ourselves again and again over and against others? To be right all the time. We are free from the tyranny of that question. What am I going to do? But we are also free. We are free for that question. Even as Jesus was. So Jesus isn't simply writing down debt in forgiveness, but giving true riches along with it, himself in relationship with the living God. On the cross, Jesus bears the brokenness that we have often made of things, bears the debt, if you will. And in so doing, we are empowered. We are free from bondage, but then we are free for others. And not just one at a time, I don't think. Let me suggest that the dishonest manager did more than deal with just individuals. He suggested policy. And there is some interpretation that when we think about the size of the debt we're talking about here, it was far, 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 far more than any individual could have. So the thought is that he was forgiving debt of whole villages, that their debts were reduced, and relieving many from deep poverty and hopelessness. Perhaps in our age, in our days, we should think about this story. In these times, when we reflect about the direction of our own country, how do we best manage our wealth? The boss seems to have considered, if not embraced, a policy that did not put profits above life. Surely that is what the prophet Amos wrote. Maybe the dishonest manager knew his scripture. What are we going to do? What are we free to do? What are we free to be? Brothers and sisters, be the resurrection.
Amen.